News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, 2025 will mark 20 years since the 7/7 attacks in London, which result in the deaths of 52 people and the injuries to nearly 800. The third and fourth part of a new documentary on the bombing is airing on BBC Two this weekend. We're joined now by Martine Wright, who's featured in the documentary and is a survivor of the attacks. Martine, thank you so much for talking to us. If you don't mind, can I start, if it's not too painful, to bring you back to the morning of 7th of July 2005 and how you came to be travelling on the tube that morning?
Yeah, of course. Morning, Shane. Well, number one, I can't quite believe it's 20 years ago, but I was slightly late that morning because of what had happened the day before. The day before was the 6th of July 2005. And that was the day that we all found out that London had won the Olympic and Paralympic bid. And Shane, I don't know whether you hear from my accent, but I'm actually a Bow Bell Cockney. I'm from London. So I was kind of excited about this event coming. So I've been out with quite a few jars with my work colleagues the night before. And as a result, was late that morning. And one of my memories that morning was relief, was running up the escalator at Moorgate Tube Station and getting to the top and looking right and seeing the Circle Line tube there. And I remember thinking, what a result. I haven't got to wait for a tube because I was running late. Sat on that tube, a very normal morning. I got my favourite seat. And that's when I started to read my paper that morning. And obviously, because of what happened the day before, you actually couldn't turn a page without reading something on the Olympics and Paralympics. And I remember getting to Liverpool Street, and then we went into that tunnel, and then, you know, seconds later the explosion happened. And I remember thinking before the explosion, I was looking at the paper and going, I've got to get tickets to this event. This is going to be massive in London. I've got to get tickets, Shane, I did not get a ticket. I took part as an athlete 7 years later. And to me, that's given me reason why I was involved that day, and maybe why I'm talking to you now about the last 20 years.
Can you tell us a little bit about the days after the attack and coming to terms with the extent of your injuries?
Yeah, so I was actually the last to be rescued from the tube because, there were so many heroes there that day. You know, I think if you had a sort of scale of mankind, at one end would be the most selfless act in the world, and, you know, at the other end would be the most selfish act in the world. So I was down there for an hour and a quarter. Apparently, I'd lost 80% of my blood. I'd been resuscitated several times. And as a result of that, I was in a coma. So I didn't actually wake up until 9 days later. And I remember it was in the middle of the night, and I had a lovely intensive care nurse, James. And I woke up obviously out of this coma, and my mum and dad weren't there. And, I remember him saying to me, Martine, I've got to tell you something. And I said, what? And I hadn't had enough energy to even, obviously get up at that point. I was lying down. And he said, we've had to amputate both your legs above the knee. And I remember, obviously feeling shocked. I'd just come out of a coma, so I was obviously heavily drugged anyway, but I managed to lift my head just enough to see half a body, to see that I had half a body, and that both my legs had gone. And again, it wasn't that day that it sunk in. It wasn't until the next day that I saw my family, and I saw their faces, and they held my hand and said, Martine, it's okay, you're not going to die. You could have died over the last 8 days, but you're not going to die now, and we're gonna get new legs. And you know, there's no question at all that, you know, people sort of say to me, what really got you through, you know, those dark times? How did you get through those days? You know, how did you accept that information that suddenly, number one, you're a terrorist victim, and number two, you're an amputee, you know? And I say, obviously, number one, I realised how lucky I was that day, because people do ask sometimes if there was a day where you thought, you know, you've got to get on with it now. And there was. There was a day. It came about 2 months after it had all happened. And I was still at Royal London Hospital, but I was strong enough to get out of my bed at that day and go to the gym physio. And I remember going into this room, and this was the day that I found out how many people died that day. I had no idea that 52 people had died. And so I think that was the day, and that was the day that I met other victims as well. And that really was when I could look around that room and say, well, I've got two legs amputated above the knee, right? You've lost one leg, you've lost one arm, you've lost... And I looked around this room and my initial thought was, why the hell am I a double amputee above the knee? Why have I lost both my legs? Knees are a big thing in the amputee world, you know. Why have I lost, you know, why have I... Why me, basically? Keep asking that question, why me? And then I started talking to these other victims, and, you know, now they're my friends, they're part of the 77 Club. But, you know, I started talking to them and I realised that I might have been, well, I was the most injured female survivor that day. But I, for some reason, I tended to be more optimistic. I was positive. I mean, you know, some of these people, rightly so, were just absolutely distraught, and their lives, you know, completely been turned upside down. But I seem to have, I don't know, I seem to have this strength to hold people's hand and to go make them laugh, I don't know, or to say, come on, you know, it's going to be better tomorrow. It's going to be a better day tomorrow. And so I think that was my journey, really, my start of my journey to my recovery.
Yeah, it's amazing, because I've read you saying you wouldn't change a thing about your life. Like, people would, you'd be forgiven for throwing your hat at it and saying, oh, look, this is just, what's the point? But instead, your life has been extraordinary since you had a baby, you've become an Olympian, you've had a remarkable life. But that it's that attitude, I think, that has driven that. Or am I right in saying that?
I think maybe, yeah, definitely it's part of it. I mean, if I could tell you, you know, what, you know, where I've got the resilience from or the strength, and it's from many, many situations and many people. You know, I've got my strength from the love that I've had around me, from my family and my friends, from that belief that you're going to be okay, Martin, you're going to be able to do this, you're going to be able to do this. I've found that strength from thinking how lucky I was that day. I mean, Shane, I shouldn't really be talking to you now. I was only 4 foot away from the bomber. And again, it was like a lottery. It didn't mean if you were further away that you're okay, And when I realised how many people had died on my carriage and how young they were, and also, to be honest, Shane, you know, the families that I've met, of loved ones that have died, you know, that's when I realised, actually, I was lucky. I was so lucky that day. And you know, even though my mum and dad looked for me, searched me for 2 days and finally found me, and, you know, must have looked at me and thought, oh, my God, look at the state of her, you know, I was still there. And, you know, I met so many families that lost their loved ones, and, you know, we as a family could have been in a very different situation. So I think it's sort of that as well that really spurred me on to say, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm determined to get something positive out of it. And I think that's a result of realizing that I actually couldn't go back to my old life. I mean, I did try to go back to work, and they were brilliant with me, but I sat behind that same desk about 2 years after it happened, and I just took all of about 15 seconds for me to go, what am I doing here? You know, this is not what I'm supposed to do as a result of what has happened. And I truly believe that I have a role now to talk about it. And obviously, you know, you guys in Ireland have had your own troubles, you know, over the past, you know, decades and things. But I really, truly believe that I have a job now to talk about what happened. And if I can help one person out there get through a tough time, or a family, it's the families that really find it hard, because it's such a world of unpredictability. You know, we'd never ever expect, you know, to be in a terrorism attack, never ever expect your daughter to end up an amputee. And so, you know, it's just, I think it's that really that's, well, look, that's got me through.
Martine, it's a job you do extraordinarily well. You're an absolute tonic. It's an incredible story and an incredible journey. And thanks so much for sharing it with us this morning. Martine Wright, OBE, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
Thanks ever so much, Shane.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.